good evening and good afternoon. And the reason I say it that way is because I'm speaking to someone in a different time zone, so I have to say good morning. But I'm in a time zone where it's good afternoon. So it's Paul Andrigo here, realestatepodcastshow.com. Today is the kickoff of the season 6 series of podcasts. This is my 6th year of doing this, and I'm not quite there. I don't quite get all the details of podcasting. I'm learning it literally as I go. But today I've got someone on the show to help kick off the season and to share some great stories, because we've been connected about a lot of different topics, mostly real estate. But I want to welcome today to the show Jonathan Cooper. So do a little elevator speech for people to know about you.
Paul, thank you so much for having me today. I'm honored to be here. Yeah, my name is Jonathan Cooper. I'm the president of McDonald Real Estate Group. So we are an independent real estate company based in Vancouver, British Columbia. We have about 24 offices across the province and one office in Singapore. And we are active in residential brokerage, commercial brokerage, property management, project marketing / new home sales. It's called different things depending on where you are.
Yep.
And then we also now have a small development, kind of developer services division called Linden Properties. So that's us in a nutshell. We have about 1,000 agents and brokers and about 150 staff in BC.
Wow. Okay. So obviously, yeah. So we're going to obviously do, but we're going to do something that I like to do, which is sort of jump into the before, sort of the past, present, and future of Jonathan Cooper. So I always like to find out, because literally as we're doing this, and I've done this with some pretty, big name people in our business, and we ended up finding out stories about them that that they never really talked about. So let's talk a little bit about you and where sort of you came from, and maybe some of this is repetitive from other podcasts, but I hope we can sort of open up some new discussions and everything else. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Jonathan, as far as where you grew up, where you came from, and I guess what got you to the point where real estate became something that you did, because the joke for a lot of us in real estate is that this is not usually our first career, and that's fine, because learning other skills is a good thing for, I think, life. And it's not my first career. I was in the fitness business for a decade, and then sort of jumped into this. So let's start with your background, where you're from, and sort of work from there.
Great. Yeah, that sounds great, Paul. So I was born in Northern California in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Nice.
I moved to Canada in 1988 with my family. I don't mind disclosing my age. I was 8 years old at the time, born in 1980. And we were lucky enough to, we moved here initially because my mom was going to do her, and she did her master's degree at UBC, which allowed us to kind of get into the country, stay for a couple of years. And during that time, we decided, if you've ever been to Vancouver, I guess my parents looked at each other and were like, this is pretty great. We should try to stay. Yeah. And we were lucky enough to rent a house initially in a neighborhood called West Point Grey, which is close to University of British Columbia. Very idyllic place to raise a family, a huge park down the street, little league, you name it, tree lined streets. I played street hockey every day in the laneway when it wasn't raining, which it does a lot here.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Vancouver. I went to elementary school, high school in Vancouver. I did my undergraduate degree at the University of Toronto, as you and I discussed. So I'm very fond of the city of Toronto and really enjoyed my time there. I learned a lot. One thing, amongst other things, I could say about Toronto that I found really special, and I think it is special both in Canada and a global sense, was not just the diversity. Canada is a very diverse place, but the significant, the diverse number of communities in Toronto, of all of which are of a significant size. West, the Caribbean community, the Indian community, the Pakistani community. Where I lived in Toronto, my last year there was kind of near Christie Pitts Park. And I remember if you went up to Bloor and took a left from where we were living, you got into an area that was sort of like Little Eritrea, right? You have the Eritrean community.
Yeah.
So that's such, Toronto's just, yeah. Anyway, Toronto's a very special place, as you know. So after college, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I did a history degree at the University of Toronto. I didn't want to teach history. I didn't want to get a PhD. I still, to this day, I enjoy reading history as a hobby.
That happens to us as we age, does it not? Doesn't history get way more exciting? My wife and I have these deep historical discussions that we would have cringed that, you know, looking at us back then, you know, teenagers going to rock concerts, you know, I don't care about this stuff. But yeah, I'm fascinated with community history. I try to talk about it as much as I can with clients. So yeah, I'm with you. So I might have to hit you up for some historical discussions.
My first job when I was 22, back in Vancouver, I worked for a market research firm which was then called Vision Critical, which I think is now called Alita. So it was online market research. I was there for 2 years. Then I had a chance, and this was a great experience, Paul, further to your point about careers before real estate. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to work on a political campaign for about, I'm going from memory here, plus or minus 6 months, for a guy named Sam Sullivan, who successfully ran for mayor of Vancouver. So I was one of his like campaign assistants, basically working for the campaign manager. But what was great about that, as it relates to our business, is that in municipal politics, there are two things, right? As I know now, having been in the business for a while, especially on the development and construction side of our business, the public sector, the municipality where you're operating is kind of like almost in a sense, one of the crucial stakeholders, right? Because that's who you work with to get your entitlements. That's who issues the development permit or the building permit, right? So it was a great way to sort of start to understand that infrastructure. And also, being on the campaign trail, I was introduced to different neighborhoods, interest groups, people, places, even within Vancouver where I'd lived for quite some time that I'd never met before and may never have met in that way. Mm-hmm. And it was really great because I got to be in that, without disclosing too much, I was in a lot of discussions with different community leaders about their priorities. And I learned a ton. I didn't say anything, which was good, but I took a lot of notes mentally. Yeah. And that was great. And it would have been a great experience regardless, but it was made more so by the fact that Sam won. So he became mayor of Vancouver. You may recall, because he's wheelchair bound. And okay. He wound up going to, in advance of the Vancouver 2010 Olympics, he wound up going to Turin, Italy for those Olympics. And he had the Canadian flag and it was a big moment. Anyway, so kind of through that campaign, I'm skipping a few steps here for the sake of efficiency, but mm-hmm. I reconnected with a lady named Lynn Sue. Lynn Sue is the chairman and CEO of McDonald Real Estate Group, then and now. And I wound up working for her from 2006 to 2016 in a variety of capacities. So Lynn does, as I said, property management, brokerage, new home sales, project marketing, and a few other things real estate related. Mm-hmm. So I worked there for 10 years. And during that time, I also kind of got going. I think I bought and sold my first few places. And so kind of got going in real estate investment on my own account with my, also kind of working in conjunction with my brother. And then from 2017 to 2023, I worked for the Holborn Group, which is a Vancouver-based real estate development property investment firm. And then in March of 2023, about a year ago, I rejoined McDonald Real Estate Group as president. So here I am. So within real estate, I've done or been exposed to many, many different things, both on the real estate services side and also on the development and construction side and on the kind of property and asset management side. So in that sense, I'm a bit of a generalist, hopefully a Swiss Army knife.
You know, definitely, as you mentioned in your journey, which of course I think is there's essential learning that sort of off, it's not on paper. It's nothing that any of us have to do. There's no checklist for this when we get into real estate. But the fact that you're mentioning that you were investing in real estate, I guess, was it before you were an agent or during?
So full disclosure, I was licensed for a while, but I've never been an agent per se in the same way.
So, but you were investing in real estate before.
Just before I started working in real estate, I was investing in real estate.
Okay.
And it's still, I practice what I preach, right? So it's still, without getting into too many personal financial details, it is both my personal residence and outside real estate investments are still the majority of my kind of investment waterfront.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of at that point, at some point in my late, probably in my late 20s or early 30s, you sort of realize, wow, this is, and I'm a bit slow, Paul, okay? But you kind of realize, no, this is this is what I want to do. And I love, amongst other things, how, you know, real estate, both in the transactional side and on the development side, brings together so many different personality types, so many different skill sets. Yeah. I mean, just to get a kind of a mid-rise concrete rental building built, right? You have a myriad of consultants that you're working with, plus the financing side, plus the construction side, plus the property management side. Going back to the beginning, you got to buy the land, you got to make that work. And so it just brings together so many different components. So I've always found it intellectually very engaging, so much so that in my mid-30s, part-time while I was working, I did my master's degree in real estate at Georgetown University. And that program focused a bit more on the kind of development and construction side. But it was a way for me to fill in some gaps in my toolkit. So yes, real estate investment. I work in real estate, and also a lot of my net worth is tied up in real estate outside of my day job. So I'm long on real estate, Paul. Like I said, I practice what I preach.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing, Jonathan, you are not, again, when we're having conversations here on this podcast, if it's just something that just happened to me or just happened to you, chances are 99% of people are going to say, what are these guys talking about? So what you're talking about in terms of real estate wealth, which is something that I've been studying, not on a PhD level, but sort of on a real life level for, a good of the 25 years I've been doing this has probably been my concentrated thesis, I guess I would call it, for the last few years. So I started something called realestatewealthreport.com, sort of a very laser focused approach, because the truth is 80% of Canadians have their wealth tied up in real estate. Yep. So when we're talking about this, it's not just you, and you don't have to tell numbers, because everybody I've talked to
is in the same boat
in Canada, for the most part, is in that position. And I don't know what the numbers are in the US, but I can't imagine it being that much less, because the American dream is home ownership. So obviously they've been marketing the whole thing about, having a home, and their versions, they've got their own sort of, tax issues and, price ranges and all that stuff, way more than we have here. We've got our 12, our provinces, and they've got all those states. There's a lot more numbers moving around. I don't pretend to know. And because you're from California, you probably have a little bit of, interest in what's going on there. And California is a wild real estate market. I love having those guys on my podcast, because they make me feel like I live on a farm.
Yeah, oh, totally.
A California or a New York agent on this podcast, when I'm talking to those guys, I feel like I'm living in the boonies somewhere, because of what they tell me they're doing. Especially when I had the really great agent Gary Gold join me, who sold the Playboy Mansion for $105 million. These are numbers that, again, in my world, I know there might be some here in Toronto, but that's not a world I'm in very often. So when I get to just put one foot, one toe, and all I can do is put one toe in the pool, because I don't swim there very much. I love hearing from those stories. So yeah, so obviously you did the thing, and this is why I wanted to talk to you. This is why I wanted you on the podcast, is because of the fact that you've taken those experiences that you've had personally. And of course, from there, you've been able to help build your business. And of course, the fact that you've got 1,000 agents, and that number is crazy, because my office, I think we've got about 150 agents. And I sometimes think, how do you keep these wild animals? I'm not going to say it in a bad way, but some of us, especially in the beginning, it's like trying to sort of keep a wild animal like a bull in a place, just to be able to learn, because you want to get out, you want to make your mark, you want to you want to sell every house on the block. I still do, but you don't have the restraint in the beginning, because you just don't know what you don't know. That's a saying I've had to say many times, that, man, I look back, man, did I not know what I did not know back then?
In a way, it's good. In a way, it's good, isn't it? Right? Especially when you're in that drive phase. In a sense, I'm not saying ignorance is good, but it's like if you knew all the things that you didn't know before you started, you might never start, right? There's a certain point where it's like,
absolutely not. I would never do this job if I knew, if after going through some very, feet to the fire learning experiences and seeing what my anxiety can handle. I know what I can handle, but would I do it again if I read that this is what's, this is what I'm going to be going through? Hell no.
Life is like that.
No way.
So I think sorry, I cut you off. Is there a question coming or?
No. Basically, just sort of making the connection between your personal, because if you, again, and this is, I think I was talking about this a bit earlier, but I wanted to sort of jump into it, is that you cannot lead without sort of having led by, or you can't really lead in this business without being a leader by example. Meaning if you haven't actually had that pit in your stomach feeling when you were putting your deposit in for your first place, you know, not knowing, is this good? Is this smart? Or is this the worst idea I've ever had? Because again, those voices, the fear, which of course I tell my kids to, you know, do something you're scared of every day. You know, get a little fearful. Tell me what you're failing at. Like I want to sort of program that part of the brain. So, because we're not programmed like that, not in school, unfortunately. So you having gone through that stuff, you've obviously probably had some situations with agents, and you don't have to mention names because we were talking about some of your, you know, some of the great agents that you've got there. But by examples, have any of the experiences that you've been through ever sort of come up with agents and maybe help them through some hard times?
100%. Yeah. 100%. Okay. So a few comments. Man, there's so many different directions we could go with this. This is great. So
let's go.
A few comments. Firstly, would be let's start now and work backwards. One thing, it's good because I spent 6 years working in really focused in development construction because I was working for a developer.
Yeah.
So I wasn't that much involved with organized real estate. We worked with brokers, of course, if we were pre-selling or if we're trying to buy land or whatever. But coming back in after that sort of 6 year. Not hiatus, but kind of 6 years doing something in real estate, but in a different facet of real estate. The last year has been really interesting because I've had to get back up to speed on the challenges on the brokerage side of the business. And some, you know, as you know, Paul, both Canada wide, but also in BC, and I think in Ontario, the regulatory landscape, for example, has changed a lot the last 6 years. So I had to get back up to speed on that. Here in BC, we actually have a new regulator, BCFSA, which is different from when I was here before. All this stuff. Anyway, all that's to say, plus the never ending, what I would call it, not tidal wave, but the never ending march of new technologies, disruptive technologies coming into the marketplace. But what I've realized early on, and I'm almost a year into this job, and I'm even more convinced now than I was 12 months ago, is that in the context of this immense amount of data that's available, you know, to anybody with a click of the mouse, and kind of new and different technologies and AI driven technologies emerging almost on a daily basis. At the end of the day, especially in residential real estate isn't, what have I said? It's intensely objective and subjective. And the final decisions are still made by human beings. Mm-hmm. And that's where good real estate agents like yourself have this kind of almost irreplaceable role as like the trusted advisor saying, hey, here's data, or here's tradespeople that we might need for a renovation, or here's technological tools that will help us in the home buying and selling transaction. And here's a bunch of stuff that's a total waste of time. And, you know, let's talk about the objective factors, like, is there a mortgage helper, or, you know, what will your monthly cost be on this home? What are property taxes going to look like? What's home insurance going to look like? But then, as a trusted advisor, let's talk about the subjective factors. Because remember, residential real estate decisions are often accompanied by major life events, death, divorce, birth of a child, or having a big, you know, your family's growing, your family's shrinking. And so this isn't a linear thing, Paul, you know that better than me. Yeah, and I've been there myself, right? So that's where I've just realized that role as a trusted advisor with all of this noise out there, I think is even more important. And with so much change, it actually intensifies the need for someone to have someone they can talk to, because human beings are still making the ultimate decision, right? Which brings me back to some of my own personal experiences. As a really wise person, and actually he's a commercial broker, I shouldn't name his name, but a kind of a very established, successful person in the industry out here, just once mentioned to me really casually over coffee, like, Jonathan, don't forget, real estate is about people. Mm-hmm. And he went on to elaborate what he meant by that.
Yeah.
And again, he's a very successful commercial broker. But you can look at that in two senses. In real estate development, real estate's about people because it's about people living in and or shopping in and or interacting with physical space. And unless you build, you know, location, unless you build, develop and build real estate in a way that human beings can productively interact with it, then your real estate development is going to be a failure, either because it's in a place that has no people or because it's, and there are some white elephants like this, I think that's the term, in Vancouver, where it's like, wow, how did that ever get built? It's just a disaster from a usability and design perspective, and therefore it's failing and it'll probably get demolished a lot sooner than its economic life would dictate. Yeah. But real estate is also about people on the brokerage and services side for the reason I just said, because it's people that are making the buying and selling decision. Oftentimes, further to your point about the 80%, the biggest financial decision of their lives, right? Yeah. And this is something that, coming back to working with our agents, you know, what I tell people is, look, let me use an example. Again, I'm not going to name names, but my brother more so than me, but we're active in real estate investment. And so let's say you're looking at a condo, and this has happened to me more than once, unfortunately. And so, okay, you go to the open house. And by the way, now the law's changed. This wouldn't apply anymore, but go back 10 years. You ask the listing agent or the agent that's there, what are the rental restrictions in this building? Because I'm looking as an investor. I'm not going to live here. What are the rental restrictions? Firstly, they should just know that. But if they don't know, usually, actually, I'm not sure. Well, look, here's my email address. Let me know.
Yeah.
You want to guess how many times they actually get back to you in a timely fashion? Like less than 10%.
Yeah.
It's really disappointing. Yeah. You know, what I say to agents is, if you just do, nobody can guarantee success in this business, right? The only thing guaranteed is, my biology teacher in high school used to remind us, the only guarantees in life are death and taxes. But if you give me a 23-year-old agent who's willing to spend 40 or 50 hours a week, you know, working from the office or in front of human beings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is what most people work in a job, right? Like, it's, you know, basically to take this seriously, to treat this as a craft, to learn about mortgage rates, to learn about construction methodologies, to learn about the new developments that are coming to the market. And if they're willing to commit to a certain waterfront of behaviors in terms of the way they dress, timeliness for meetings, follow up, getting back to people, working their sphere of influence, can I guarantee you they'll be successful? No, but they will give themselves every chance of success. Mm-hmm. But a lot of agents coming into the business don't do those things, Paul, as you know better than me, right?
I think we both know it equally, Jonathan, and the frightening statistic, and this is because I love learning outside of real estate. I love diving into other industries and seeing what they're doing, hopefully learning from it, and then looking into saying, okay, wow, I would never do that. So basically, I sneak in to like engineer conferences or firefighters conferences. I was on a vacation recently and I've snuck into like somebody's sales meeting because it just looked like anybody was allowed. So I just walked in, sat down with my coffee and just listened. It was about like shoes or something. But the fact is, this week we're in the process of looking for a new car. So, and it's March break here, and my teenage son doesn't have much going on. So I said, you know what? We're doing sales training this week, son. And chances are, if you tell that to a teenager, they're going to blank out and say, I don't want to. But he actually really enjoys this kind of stuff, weirdly enough. I don't know how, maybe because I sort of brought it up. So we're going to
I wonder where you got that from, Paul.
Yeah, I wonder why. It's all conditioning, I guess. So we started going to different car dealerships, and the guy that we met with the other day was one of these really nice guys, had a really good bedside manner, right, for a car salesman, totally relaxing. We were both having a great time. And then I wanted to see what he was going to do about follow-up. And this is sort of coming back to your story.
Absolutely.
Zero. Like I told him, and this is the truth, I'm going in there. I'm not a young man. I just hit 50 this year. I've been through dealing with cars and financing. So I like just buying the car and then just moving on with my life. So I told him, listen, I'm going to be just buying this car outright. So normally I was thinking, if I was him on the other end of this table and somebody told me that, I would be reaching out to this guy 3 times a day for the next week, just staying in touch. Paul, by the way, here's something else that you know you might want to know about these cars. Just get to that, you know, build that relationship. Zero, not a thank you for coming, not a follow up at all. This was like on, what is it today? Thursday. It was Monday. Usually, I don't know what the policy is for, you know, post date texting, but I would say if I was him, I would at least just reach out the next day, because I gave him everything. I gave him cell and email. I really wanted to see what he was going to do. Do they have a system or a formula? And I thought, I thought car sales, because I follow the guys who talk about car sales on Twitter, and I'm fascinated because I want to know what's going on. But I would think in some cases, like some of them are doing really, really, they're not doing really well sometimes. So I think, again, I would be bombarded, and that's not the fact. So going back to what you said, that human element, just being present. And again, the commercial agent you mentioned that's very successful, those are the guys I've learned so much about, because they, the successful ones, get it because they are so good at converting to a human discussion. They're not just talking about cost per square foot and all the like commercial real estate is, of course, so much more detailed, like, you know, the cost of the lease over 5 years. It's there's all these, you know, like beautiful mind equations going on. So the fact is the really good ones, and I've had a few of them. Luckily, they've joined me here and I wanted them on the show because they were those kind of people. So I hope what you're talking about.
And just to add to that, interestingly, now that I think about it, in commercial brokerage, because you're primarily not dealing in an MLS environment, it's actually, in a weird way, even more about relationships, right? Because they have to know the landlords, they have to know the potential buyers, they have to disintermediate the market and put these people together, because they don't usually use the MLS, especially for the bigger stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's very true what you say, right? There's probably more of a, in a sense, hardcore spreadsheet, Microsoft Excel analytical perspective, but the fundamental principle remains that it's still human beings making the decision at the end of the day, be it, the board of directors, be it the director of acquisitions for a big developer, whoever it is, right? You're absolutely right. So, one of our, I mentioned to you, and again, out of respect for his business, because he's talked about this internally, I don't know how open he is externally, but in our 1,000 agents, right, some of them I have kind of gotten to know over the last year, reacquainted myself with, and one young up and coming agent who's already running a team, he's already making a great living for himself and his family. His, What's the word I've heard said in many real estate conferences? Something along the lines of, right, what you don't measure, you can't improve.
Yeah.
So his deliverable, and he sets it out with his team at the beginning of the year, is, I'm sure there's probably a goal for the number of transactions they want to do. But the primary thing they focus on is in-person, or failing that, phone meetings per week, per month, per quarter, per year. And you know, be they past clients you're just reconnecting with, be they potential clients, be they just not random people, but people in your sphere of influence, parents on your kid's soccer team, or parents from your kid's school, or your wife's friends, you know, your wife's friend's husband who you've never really gotten to know, taking him for coffee, right? And so, and he and I were talking about it, you know, in a way, the best time to have those meetings is when there is no buying or selling imperative, because then you can just build the relationship. You don't have to be weird about it. You're not trying to like follow up the guy to get him to do something, or the gal. You just built a relationship. You shared what's going on in the market. Inevitably, people in Vancouver love talking about real estate. So inevitably, you'll get asked about the market. Back to my point, if you're taking this business as a craft, you should know what's going on, broad strokes.
Yeah.
And I think that's really compelling and really powerful. And that's why I tell the story, because the number of transactions that happen is, in a sense, it's a secondary or tertiary thing. Mm-hmm. You can't necessarily control that. But what you can control is, how many meetings did I have this week?
Yeah.
How many meetings did I have? And how many do I have set up next week? Oh, I need to set up a few more. That is something you can control. It kind of comes back to that sports analogy. When goal scorers are struggling, what the coach will tell them is, look, forget about scoring goals. Let's talk about putting yourself in a position where goals are more likely.
Mm-hmm. Again, Jonathan, this is why, like I said, I kind of had a feeling as we were talking on the phone that we would be able to hit on a few things. So number one, the agents that you think that might want to be, you know, mentioned in the podcast, this is something that we can, like I said, do on the back end. That's just something that if they like being on a billboard, they'll love being on a podcast billboard, because it's a moving target. It goes all over the world. Number one. Number two, the story, because I've just sort of learned to translate everything into a story, is it was year two or three for me in real estate. Things were going really, really well. I was at an award show and they put me at a table with the top dog in the company. And this guy has been, or it still might be in some cases, the big guy in his company. And we sat down together and we just started talking about everything. And he was a big hockey guy. So we started talking about hockey, and I was talking about football and rugby and all this stuff. So we spent 90% of the time talking about sports. And what he told me was that, as you were saying before, the appointments, the importance of just, you know, being with people and just conversating, storytelling, is that when you're at a party, and if you're the realtor who's talking about real estate, no one wants to get near you. No one's going to come near you because you're that guy. But if you're the realtor at the party talking about hockey, you know, the your latest concert, just again, just what your kids are doing in school, like just everything else,
you know, being normal,
being normal, which again is not those words like, hey, just be normal. I don't remember hearing those words in my early training. It was just about, you know, systems and you know, dealing with objections and all this stuff that you have no idea what to do with because none of those things are real yet, right? Like you haven't heard every objection. 25 years in, I now have heard every objection and I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, I got a good answer for that one now. But back then it was just, I was taking someone's word for it. So the fact that you've got, again, a couple of agents and you brought them up and I really want this to be, this is what I wanted to do when I started this podcast is I wanted to sort of have a stage built where all of these guys, and they're all, by the way, they're all, they're invitations next if they want to be on the show. I want to be able to have as many of these conversations in real life when I get the chance to meet with you guys in conferences and have these discussions. I love those as well. But the fact that technology in just the last 4 years, I would say since 2020, since everybody and their grandmother jumped on Zoom and, of course, you know, had to embrace social media because for a little while there, we couldn't leave our houses. And that was, you know, a little bit scary, but also at the same time, the incubation of, I would say, podcasting prior to 2020 was like, you know, ham radio. Like the people who were podcasting was like, you know, oh, you know, who? Why do you do that? It's a total waste of time. And I admit that in the beginning with me and my $9 microphone, and I haven't moved up that much. It's only a $65 microphone now. But to I moved up a little bit and it was enough. But the fact is, these conversations, my goal was to eventually have a, you know, be able to set up a round table, literally have like you and like 5 or 10 others. And the way technology is now, and thankfully they've made it so easy that I can literally say, here's a link. Let's sit down and talk about, and my goal, if anybody's listening, is to get literally like the entire country of Canada and eventually the States too, but the entire country of Canada sitting at a round table with BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan. And I've sort of slowly connected with each of those people and just like, just be at a round table, sort of just discussing what's going on in our markets and do it monthly. And I don't know if it's being done yet. And if it is, I'm sorry, I'm going to steal the idea. But that's what I've been wanting to do is just literally build that stage up, connect with as many people. And again, I know that if I didn't do that, I don't know if we'd be talking. We might have met at a conference, but it might have been, hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm from Toronto. Oh, yeah, there's a you know, there's 50,000 agents in Toronto. You're just one of those. And it would really not go much further. We'd exchange business cards and each throw the business card away after we're done because there was no connection point. And thankfully, we've been talking for 30 minutes and we talked about 30 minutes before. About different things. And of course, you know, and this is why I wanted to have you here, Jonathan. So that, to me, makes all the difference in the world.
Fantastic. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, Paul?
Well, yeah, basically, again, my goal here in the podcast, again, I wanted to know a little bit about, you know, your past, where you came from and you went in through that. And of course, we're talking about now, you know, the present and where, if you want to go into a little bit of detail about what's happening in your market, a little bit about your office. And of course, you know, what the listeners, and of course, there's agents, there's, you know, there's owners. One of the first, and this is why it's so cool that you're in BC, is one of the first people that ever reached out to me from the podcast says that they were listening to the show. They liked what I was doing. And they said, I have family that lives in Toronto, just east of Toronto. Would you be able to help them sell their house? It was a conversation that I never dreamed would happen. And since then it's happened more times than I can say. Again, I'm so thankful for it each time it happens. So I basically want to find out just, you know, in a nutshell, if you want to do a little sort of a 5-minute wrap up, how the real estate market is in your area. And of course, you know, what it would be like if an agent was listening and they were thinking about, you know, working in your office or working with you, you know, just sort of how that works, and, you know, a day in the life sort of thing like that.
Sure. Okay, great. All great questions. So this year is actually McDonald Realty's 80th anniversary.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And company started in 1944. I think it's a, you know, in a sense, we're you and I are more concerned about the present and the future, but I think it's okay to recognize and acknowledge that because we live in Paul, in a highly cyclical industry. So to have survived.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's an important thing to bring up. 80 years old in this business, it's a good thing to be able to talk about.
Absolutely. And so in terms of starting with the market over the first kind of 60 days of the year, which is the data I've seen so far, and plus a lot of, I kind of almost more prefer the anecdotal data of when I'm visiting various offices, the agents that I talk to, hey, what's going on? What are you seeing?
That's better. Yeah.
Yeah. A significant uptick, just statistically, a significant uptick in activity from the same period last year. Last year across our market areas, transaction volume was down kind of 15 to 20%. So this year it looks like it's trending to be back sort of where it was the year before. We'll see.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the same thing at our office level and stuff that is, we're back at a sort of more normal level of inventory. I don't know what it was like in Ontario, but in 2023, sometimes inventory was at some of the lowest point it's been in.
It was crazy low.
Yeah, but well-priced stuff in good neighborhoods, notwithstanding that their, you know, interest rates haven't gone down yet, is often still selling with multiple offers, Paul. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting market. Part of the dynamic here is that and I think same in Toronto, we're at less than 1% vacancy in the rental market. If you can find a down, like if you're paying $4,000 a month plus for a 2-bedroom apartment and in Vancouver, let's say, and if you can find a down payment, that same $4,000 will get you, I don't know, I'm not a mortgage broker, but $600,000-$700,000 in financing, give or take. Yeah. And then you can buy pretty much a similar apartment to the one that you're renting. So I think the low vacancy and high rental rates is still encouraging a lot of people to look at, to find a way to buy a house if they can, or to buy a home.
Yeah.
And within our company, we pride ourselves on our training and support for new agents. We have a team of experienced non-selling managing brokers that, because again, we're corporate in a sense, we're all under one ownership. Yes, I may be the managing broker, let's say, of these two or three offices, but our agents get a little business card with all the managing brokers and their cell phones. So if you can't find your managing broker, you call one of these other managing brokers. And like I said, primarily speaking, they're non-selling. So they're just there to support agents, contract review, firefight deal problems, and help agents get deals over the line and make more money. Mm-hmm. We also have revamped and sort of augmented the part of our training, Paul, that's dedicated to what I call applied skills. So now on a monthly basis, we have agents internally who are running successful businesses within McDonald Realty who have kindly agreed to offer training on kind of sphere of influence, buyer agency discussions, lead generation, to their peers, particularly for new agents, but anybody else can join. Mm-hmm. And then we have soft skills training, right? So that, again, it's ongoing, just incremental, but in sort of listening, handling objections, building rapport. And so again, we're trying to look for ways in addition to regulatory stuff and technical like contract stuff, look for ways to help our agents, especially new agents, do more business and kind of be productive and be successful. So that's, you know, I don't think that answers all your questions, but in terms of where we're going from here, for the reasons I already said, I feel very bullish or optimistic, both on the market in general, because Canada is a great place to live. We have strong immigration. We have limited supply of housing. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's going to continue to be transactions. Yeah. And I feel optimistic in sort of the business for the real estate agents in our company, because, again, if you take this seriously as a craft, you're going to be that trusted advisor that's going to help people through the biggest transaction of their lives. And if you do a good job reasonably of staying in touch with those people, they're going to tell other people about it, and you kind of go from there.
You know what? Yeah, I think you've definitely summarized, again, the point of my podcast today was to, again, introduce, you know, you to the show and, of course, to find out, you know, as much as I could about your story. But the good news is that you've talked a lot about, again, your company and the fact that, you know, so you're back in charge. And of course, you've got, you know, such a great philosophy about, you know, just basically, again, lifting others, because we sort of discussed this, you know, as sort of our towards the end of our conversation on the phone earlier, was about collaboration. And this is something that is not always the first word that comes up in discussions when it comes to real estate. And I don't really remember it in, you know, early 2000s. I was licensed in 2000. I remember all the training I did, but it was never really about, I mean, of course they talked about referral networks, but very much it sort of quickly becomes obvious that, you know, competition, you know, especially in your own community with other agents, becomes a thing that people get so obsessed about. Meanwhile, jumping into the podcast world when I did, it was like night and day. And this is why I'd love to be able to, and this is not going to be up to me. This is going to be up to you and anybody else who decides to join me. This is where, you know, you'll see, I want to be, let people see, you know, high, you know, top performing agents, top performing offices, CEOs. I've had one of the, you know, the top leaders of Saskatchewan real estate join me. I want to be able to say that when we collaborate, it's so much more powerful than when we're just sort of, you know, sort of fighting against each other and talking about, you know, oh, this guy does this guy does that. So I just think that, again, having you here for me was a pleasure, and I really appreciate your time. You offering me the time.
It's an honor, Paul. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, again, Jonathan, I really want to say it that, I never want it to be, and of course I always sort of say, let's wrap it up around a certain time, just for the audience, not so much for us, because I know, knowing me, and I think we've talked about enough stuff where we could probably keep going, and I do want it to be continued. So definitely we'll call it that, a to be continued podcast. But for now, I want to make sure that everybody who's listening knows how to reach out to you, whether they want to, you know, discuss with you, you know, real estate, whether they want you on their podcast, which I would definitely recommend after hearing you on mine. And I know you've done a few other ones as well. Shout out to all of those, again, places that you've been already. So what's the best way for people to reach out to you if they want to just get in touch and learn more about you?
Just email me at jcooper@macrealty.com. That's J-C-O-O-P-E-R at macrealty.com. M as in Michael, A-C, R-E-A-L-T-Y.com. That's our website.
Okay.
Yes. And I look, yeah, I'd be happy to get those emails and to continue the discussion with you, Paul, at some time, or anybody who's listening. No problem.
Wonderful. Well, again, thanks again so much, Jonathan. I really enjoyed having you on the podcast. Thanks for kicking off my season six, my season six podcasting. It's really, really been great to have you. And once again, you and pretty much all the agents that you've talked about without naming, if they ever wanted to join me, or even if just it's a new, and I've said this to other brokers, and as you mentioned earlier, sometimes you'll put something out to someone, they won't take you up on it, and I don't see why not. But I've said to the agents and the brokers that I've signed, that I've talked to, if they're looking for a place to sort of launch their, you know, their brand, and they want to, you know, tell people about what they do, my stage is open, and I wanted it to be that way from the beginning. So just so you know, open invite to anybody that, you know, is on your payroll or in your office, for whatever reason, new projects, all that kind of stuff. To me, that's stuff that people don't really get to hear all the time. So I just wanted to end it with that. And once again, thank you again for your time, for joining me.
Thank you, Paul. Talk soon. Appreciate
Thanks, Jonathan.
It.